Thanks, David. Well, I'm back, and I wasn't talking about me one moment ago. I got an exciting gift and privilege to introduce my buddy, Mark Pavla. Come on up. Come on up, Mark. Yeah, absolutely. Mark's going to share the word with us today, and we were talking, and it sounds kind of weird. Hey, brother, it seems kind of weird, but there may be some of y'all that don't know him. You know, I know that's weird. I don't know how that could be, but,
It's a good thing. I hope there's lots.
So just by way of introduction, Mark was our senior pastor for 10 years, and he's still my pastor and friend. And what happened some time ago now, and I think you're going to talk a little bit about this, is that he went over to Duluth to plant a church. And we Bayside, are planting a church. And Mark is going over there, and he's doing the thing. He's growing the kingdom and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to steal your thunder, man.
No, you're going good. Just keep going.
Yeah, he's so awesome. Yeah. He's great.
It sounded better than it is. So. Do it.
Well, I'm going to get out of the way. Mark, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks.
I love you, brother.
I love you too. A lot. Well, good morning. It's really, really, really nice to be here. And to be back. It's just good. Mark, thank you. I'm blessed and privileged and honored to be here this morning. I got to talk to Pastor Thomas, who is on sabbatical. That's part of the reason I'm here, is just because he's on sabbatical. So you need a few folks once in a while to come up. And I know you got lots of really good people here who can preach, but it's a privilege and a blessing and an honor for me, like I said, to be here. Pastor Thomas is doing good. I don't know how much you've heard a report, but he's doing really, really well. I get the privilege of sort of talking to him and walking him a little bit through his sabbatical, and that's been a really good thing, really, really good thing. And I think he's doing well. Sabbatical is a weird thing. I went through it. It can be a blessing, but it's also a challenge because it is so radically different. And so keep Pastor Thomas, if you would, in your prayers. He's also a dear friend of mine, and he's a great shepherd. You guys are really, really blessed to have him and Pastor Mark and all of the elders and leaders and deacons and all of the leadership that you have here at Bayside. I'll just tell you, the further I get removed from this season that I was here, the more I just see how many really amazing leaders you have. And so be in prayer for them, and be in prayer for Pastor Thomas. It's really a blessing, and it's good to be back. I've been kind of walking through this whole move from pastoring and being a part of the life and the community and the family here. And, you know, the further that I get removed from that, that season, you're not removed from my hearts. And there's no way that you'll ever be removed from my hearts. You're my family. As much as anyone is my family, you all are my family. And so you're deep in my heart. But the further I get removed from that position, the more I am honestly, sincerely blown away by and with humble gratitude by what you all did. And I honestly, I think about it, and we were talking about it last night, the humble sacrifice, generosity, and faith that you showed to send myself and to send a group of us to go and plant a church is unbelievable. We were at a little prayer meeting last night, and we were praying for Bayside, and we were lifting up Bayside, and Pete, not everyone knew the fullness of what you did in sending us, and they've never heard of that. People had never heard of someone that would send their senior pastor and their worship leader to plant a church in a similar community. And somebody said, well, maybe they wanted you to go. I'm like, I said, I guarantee some did. I guarantee some did, but no, honestly, Bayside, I could not be more grateful and thankful, and I just pray for you every day, and I think of you so often, and the further that I get from this, I am blown away. So I really want you to know how much I honor you today, and I'm thankful for you today, and we are going to do our best to honor what you wanted us to do and what you sent us to do. We are working really, really hard to do that. And we know that that's a reflection on you. And we couldn't do it. There's no way Hope City Church exists without Bayside Baptist Church. So we are just intimately connected. So yeah, we officially launched on Easter Sunday morning, had a really beautiful launch service, and we have been just kind of doing that since then on Sunday mornings. We also, on Saturday nights, we gather together and we pray and we prep, and then we often go out and we walk around in the community and we meet folks with Hershey bars. Something about a Hershey bar. Just one lady said, "Man, if there's anything that would make me think about talking to God, it's a Hershey bar." I said, "Take two." And so we go out often, and you know, it's been a good thing. We also have started a little thing on Wednesday nights on Facebook as a way to reach out electronically. And so a lot of people will connect initially through social media and all of that. And so we've been doing a little Facebook Live thing on Wednesday nights, and that's proven itself to be a little fruitful as well. And so, you know, I would say the biggest thing that I can tell you about Hope City right now, you know, we're a small little beginning new birthed church. And so we're little, we could fit all of us right here pretty easily. You know, it's a small group, but what God is stirring us for right now, and this would be a prayer, I guess, as to for you to know about Hope City. But God is stirring us deeply, and He started this in my heart about between 3 and 4 weeks ago. He is showing me the reality, showing us the reality of what we are up against, what we are dealing with spiritually. So He is calling us, I believe, and stirring us to prayer like we have never prayed before in our lives ever. And He has revealed to me and to us that if we don't seek Him and call out to Him, we won't last. We won't last. We will not make it. And so he is stirring us in a way that I have personally never been stirred in. To seek Him and to call out to Him. And He's reaffirming a verse that's been a life verse for me, John 15:5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And he is reaffirming that I am literally helpless, hopeless, and sunk without Jesus doing this work and building this church. And He's reaffirming that in my heart and in my life. And not just the sort of prayer that is philosophical. I was so excited to hear about your gather and pray. And Mark, can I just reaffirm that? Just reaffirm that is all of us. He is just revealing that my need for that so desperately. But that is all of us. And that is the church, right? That is the church. We are to be called a house of prayer. A house of prayer. And many times I can get very busy into making it a house of program or a house of strategy. And all those things are fine and they're good and they're important. Or a house of even outreach. But we are to be called a house of prayer. And God is stirring me to pray like I have never prayed, and He's calling us, and He's really revealed to me very clearly that without that, Hope City Church will not make it. My family, my little family is growing. Maybe there we are. There's Easter Sunday. There's Launch Sunday. That's myself, my beautiful wife Andrea, 16-year-old daughter Tirza. Going to be a junior next year. I don't like these kids getting bigger. Andrew, 18, graduated from Marshall this spring, and now he's going to be going to Scholastica, doing really well. Of course, beautiful little Selah, 11 years old, and then these two lovely little additions that happened, I think, much because of what God stirred in our hearts while we were here, which was the heart towards kids who just don't have what many of our kids have. And so we adopted them a little while back through the foster care system. And so that's our family. I would love if you would also keep us in prayer. As happy as we look, we're not always that happy. Can I just be honest? There's a joy in our heart and there's loudness in our house, okay? Yeah, it's been a challenge, and I won't go into all of the details because that's not the point of today, but if you would just pray for us in all of that, we desperately need your prayers for us to get through each day and to manage all that has entailed. It's an incredible blessing. We feel like it is just what God has us to do, and it's super hard at times. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you ever feel like I'm doing just what God wants me to do, and it's hard? And I wish it wasn't. Okay, I'll stand right at the front of that line. Yeah, that's the reality of home life. But we're loving it. And there is Easter Sunday morning. So obviously, I'm still surrounded by kids. Can't get away from them. I'm still working with Youth for Christ. And so I am still sort of co-vocational. I'm the director of YFC in the area. Again, from the YFC standpoint, thank you for still partnering with us, reaching teenagers. And I'm still doing that. And we're starting this new church, Hope City, and I have kids all over the house. And here's a really funny thing. So the last probably 20 years, my life has been immersed into the lives of kids. Immersed. From my home, from my work, from my love, from everything like that. And I honestly feel today that I know way less about kids than I did 20 years ago. I feel like the unexpert of all things children. But I will tell you this, this passage that Pastor Tom asked me to share today is all about kids. And so I come at this from a very humble angle. I come at this from a not expert angle, but I will tell you that the Lord stirred my heart in this passage. He stirred my heart and touched my heart and spoke to me this week through this beautiful passage, which is all about kids. And so if I can, I want our hearts and our minds to go two places today. I want them to go up to Jesus, because if Jesus is not at the center of all things kids, and he is in this story, but I want our hearts to stay there, because Jesus, I love what I think Dr. Steve Patrick spoke from this place quite a few years ago. He said, it's always been about Jesus. It is right now today about Jesus, and it will always be about Jesus. Can I get a Bayside amen? Oh, that's beautiful. See, we don't have that many people, and so I don't get those amens anymore. I hear like one person, amen? Huh? So I love it. Give me the amens. I need them this morning. It's filling my cup. Filling my cup. So I want us to keep focused primarily on Jesus. Can we do that? Can we keep focused primarily on Jesus? And then I want our hearts so desperately to go to the little ones this morning. I really want our hearts to go to those two places. I don't think they're in opposition to one another, although at times at my house, I kind of think they seem like they are. Will you just look to Jesus? I love you. There's a mixed message. Can we let our hearts today go to Jesus and who he is, thank you, and all that he has done? And can we let our hearts just wrap themselves around little kids this morning? So here's the passage that we're going to be going through today from the Gospel of Mark. I love that you're going through the Gospel of Mark. So Mark 10, we're going to read verses 13 to 16. And they were bringing children to him, that's Jesus, of course, that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. Now, we don't know much about these children. We don't know if they were orphans. We don't know if they were, as the Bible, especially the Old Testament, calls the fatherless, or if they were just kids of some of the parents who were there. We don't know that. Okay, so maybe in some ways it was a combination of kids, maybe. But maybe that's not the key. Maybe this is an overriding. Maybe this is a message on children that is the kids that are real desperate in their need for parents. And maybe it's also a message for the kids who have parents who are within homes. So let's just remember all of those kids. All of those kids, because he doesn't tell us which specifically. But when Jesus saw it, verse 14, he was indignant. This is pretty angry. And he said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." And the children coming to Jesus seem to have something to do with how the disciples, his followers, responded to the children. Do you see that? So the children coming to Jesus has something to do with how I respond to the kids. Let's pray. Let's open and ask God's Holy Spirit to speak. Dear God, again, Father, I am so humbled and thankful and grateful, God, to be here with my brothers and sisters. Lord, you know the appreciation that has been welling in my heart, stirring in my heart, overflowing even from my mouth about this family here at Bayside. And Lord, I would pray a great blessing upon them. God, I would ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, would breathe so powerfully over this congregation and anointing people for the work of ministry. Father, I pray that they also would be stirred to pray. God, that Bayside would pray like they've never prayed. God, we know that apart from you, we can do nothing. We know that philosophically and theologically, but Father, may that work out in our community practically. Father, may we have a desperation knowing, God, and truly believing that without you, we can't accomplish anything for the kingdom. Father, will you forgive me for my unbelief? Because if I believed that, I would live that. And so, Father, forgive me this morning. I confess that. I confess that. So would you forgive me for that this morning? And dear God, would you also stir us, Father, out of the need that is there, that we don't always see or identify, but would you stir us, Father, to seek you and to call out to you and to cry out to you, that we may reach this community, Father, for your kingdom and for your glory, not just to grow our church, but to make disciples, Father, that go into this world and are representatives of your love. And so, Jesus, I pray for that. Father, I also pray that our hearts this morning would be drawn to you, Jesus, and drawn to children. And Father, may we know the connection of how you, Christ, calling kids to yourself has a lot to do with how we respond to kids. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I have asked that so many times. Would you please speak this morning? God, would you please speak? Would you touch our hearts? Would you stir us? And Father, we just will give you all the thanks and all the glory. We love you, dear God. Jesus, be glorified today. We lift you above all things. We worship you in these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to walk through that little passage, just verse by verse, and then I'm going to ask a question, sort of a question from each verse. So verse 13, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. The question that I had, a natural one, is why? Why do you think the disciples wanted to shoo these kids away? And for some of you, this may not even be a question. You may be like, oh, I get it. I that makes total sense. Like I just, you know, that's a horrible thing if you think that, by the way. Shame. No, I'm totally kidding. You know, was there a cultural devaluation of kids in this culture? Probably. Yeah, there probably was. Did they have the thinking that kids are to be seen but not? Oh, some of y'all have heard that. Some of y'all have heard that. That apparently wasn't Jesus' philosophy, by the way, that kids are to be seen, perhaps, but not heard or touched or blessed. That apparently wasn't Jesus' philosophy, I guess. Could it be because the kids were loud? Okay, never met a group of kids that weren't, ever. I think we could just go on record and say, yeah, they were loud. Okay, do we think they were probably messy? Again, never met a group of kids that were not in some ways messy. Can I get an amen? Okay, thank you. So they were probably loud, they were probably messy. Now, do you think that these disciples had any thought that these kids might be distracting to the real ministry that was going on? Friday afternoon, I was prepping for this message. And I was on my deck, and sitting on my deck, and I was prepping, and I was digging into it, you know, and I was excited to be able to share, and I had, you know, all of this. And there was something super ironic that happened in those moments. You know what's going to, you're there with it, right? Oh, man, did I start getting interrupted by my kids. And I didn't even see it at first. I'm not going to lie to you. At first, I'm like, oh, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. This is really important, and I got to get this real ministry done. And I'm literally studying this passage. And God's like, Mark! My good father was like, Mark, do you see what you're doing? You disciple. Kids, I need to do some real work. I need to do some real ministry. I need to do the higher calling. And Jesus is like, there is no higher calling. Mark, throw the little sinking doohickeys into the pool so Joshua can go and do his goggles and find them. Throw the doohickeys. That's the real ministry, Mark. Will you throw the doohickey, please? The sinking doohickey? Throw it. And then look at his smile after you throw it and he goes down in. And don't you dare think that that isn't the real ministry, Mark. Don't. It was so ironic. I'm sitting there having this moment of like, God, did I really just do this? He's like, yes, and I love you, and you're a disciple. A human one. All we know for these people is it was not good for them to try to distance themselves from these kids. It was not good to try to set up distance. Don't set up distance between you and these beautiful, loud, messy, inconvenient kids. Don't set up a distance. Verse 14, Jesus' response. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant with them and said to them, let the children come to me. And that was one of the big things that I realized this week is kids coming to Jesus has a lot to do with how I respond to kids. Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Here was my question on this verse. It's like, why did Jesus get so upset? Like that indignant is a heated, it's a passionate, heated word. I'm like, that's a little harsh. Well, what I didn't ever realize up to this is that prior to this, and you can read about it in Mark chapter 9, so the chapter prior. So before this, I'm going to read the same thing out of Matthew 18. But prior to this, Jesus had already talked to them about kids. He had already taught that. Look at what he said. So this is prior to this experience, Matthew 18, 1 to 6. At that time, again, this is before this story that we're reading today. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. That's not unclear teaching, is it? That's not soft. That's not ambiguous. Jesus wasn't mixing words or making slight culturally nice recommendations. This was like intense and harsh in terms of how they were supposed to see and respond and receive kids. And he had just taught them that. And then practical application. You ever have a God do that? Like he speaks something to you and then he gives you a way to practice it like right away? Well, he does that to me all the time. And so that's what he was doing. He gives them this incredible teaching on children and receiving children and how horrible it is from his perspective if we do something that causes sin in children. And so he gives them that whole teaching. And then by his great grace, he blesses them with a whole big group of loud, messy, inconvenient children to practice on. And their first thought, their first reaction is, so Jesus, in this story that we're reading and looking into, I think part of the reason he was so upset is because they heard this, but they didn't really hear this. Boy, and that just sent something deep into here of like, how many times, God, do I hear of how I am to respond and love and receive kids? And yet I don't. Always. Do you know what I'm saying? I forget. I forget the value of kids to Jesus. And I think his harshness was based on the fact that he had already and just shared this with them. Children are every bit as big an important part of the kingdom of God as adults as we are. Children are not, for such belongs the kingdom of God, Jesus says. They are not and will never be second-class citizens in the kingdom. Ever. Children are equal kingdom citizens to us, to adults. There's no second-class citizens. And certainly not the kids. Let them come to me. And how we respond to them is how they can come and see in me Jesus. Verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. My question here is what? What is Jesus really teaching them? You know, we are to grow up and mature in Christ. We are to grow up and be mature disciples and to be growing in that. And there's many things that God tells us to grow up into and mature into and to grow into. But there are many things within the kingdom that we need to grow down into before we grow up into. Many times we need to grow down to grow up. And what Jesus was saying here is he was saying, there's some things, by the way, let me tell you, they're not only not second-class citizens, these little beauties can teach you guys a thing or two. Or three. He was saying that kids can teach us things about the kingdom that we have grown out of that we need to grow back down into. So many times we need to grow down to grow up. Let me tell you, I came up with three little things that we grow down, that we actually become more, we are to become more like children in, and we can see reflected in children, and that will actually cause us to grow up and mature in Christ. We grow down in some ways to grow up. Number one, what can kids teach us about the kingdom of God? Number one, humble faith. Humble faith. He used that word, as unless you humble yourself like a child. Faith, trust, belief. that things are going to be okay because my mom and my dad say they're going to be okay, and I will just trust them. We don't even enter the kingdom of God without faith. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. So when we trust in what Jesus did, dying on the cross for our sin, taking all of sin upon himself, and when we humbly come and say, you know what, yes, I am a sinner who is in need of a Savior. And when we trust that, that is humble faith. And so we don't even get into the kingdom without reflecting the humble faith of a child. And it is saying, I can't do this, but God, you can and you did. I have sinned. I have fallen short. I am in need of something. And that something is a someone, and his name is Jesus, the God-man who paid for my sin. And so we don't even enter the kingdom. And then think about this. For the rest of time, God literally calls us his children. We are children forever when we are born again into his kingdom. So we become children forever. And kids reflect a humble, they're just humble because they're small and they don't have a lot of power and they don't have a lot of say. And so there's a natural humility built into a child. And then there is also a natural trust that if mom and or dad are caring for them, then they have a natural trust that it's going to be okay because mom and dad are going to take care of me. And the younger that child is, the more natural it is. Babies just don't worry about the stuff that we spend so much time worrying about. The honest to goodness truth, my friends, is we can learn humble faith from the kids. See how they trust and trust like that. See how they are naturally humbled and low and humble yourself like that. We can learn humble faith from our kids. Number two, this is going to be tough for us here, because we're a lot of Scandinavians. Kids can teach us how to praise with some exuberance and liveliness. Kids can teach us how to express joy, not just feel it like this. Oh, I'm joyful. I'm super joyful. You don't even know how joyful I am. I got the joy down in my heart, and it's staying there. It ain't going anywhere. It's just staying right there. Kids can see us, or we can learn from kids how to praise with some liveliness. Our brothers and sisters around the world do this better than us. Let's just be honest. We're not all that as Americans. Go to a worship service around the world and you will see some lively praise. And have you ever been to a worship service where there's been lively praise? Raise your hand if you've been to a lively praise worship service. Okay, I'm not saying that ours isn't. Oh, that was a horrible thing. I just realized that. David, I'm so sorry. No, that's not what I was meaning. I loved our worship service. He's a good, good father. I loved it. I was worshiping. That was horrible. I'm trying to affirm and I'm cutting you down. No, the reality is, as Scandinavians and as who we are, this isn't natural. It's just not natural, okay? That doesn't make it bad. It's just, but kids, just get, you know, like 3 and 4 year old kids. We could get a whole bunch of them here and we could put them up here and we could put on some lively music and you would see them start dancing. And you'd see praise. Listen to what Jesus said in that Matthew passage. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read out of the mouths of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise?" See, kids know how to get joyful, and they know how to express that joy. And we grow up out of that, and I think what Jesus was saying is they can teach you something about getting excited once in a while. And Jesus would probably say, I'm worth getting excited about once in a while. And the gospel is probably enough that should stir something in here that once in a while it should get its way out here once in a while. Do you know what I'm saying? We can learn how to express our joy from children. Not only are they not second-class citizens, but they can teach us how to be joyful. Can't they? And a part of it is because they just trust. It's hard to be real joyful when you don't trust, when you're all worked up about all these other things that are so important. And the kids, they just don't worry about that stuff. And when something makes them joyful, they just blah. They can teach us how to lively pray. Number three, this is a big one. Kids can teach us true rest. I had never tied true rest to children before, but I want to read this passage to you from Matthew 11, 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and you have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." He's saying, what I am going to teach you now, I have just revealed to the little children. And if you start trying to think this through too much, you're going to miss it. And then he shares these most beautiful passages on rest. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And we know that part of it, I didn't ever realize that part of it was packaged in something that was revealed through little children. I have revealed this to little children. Rest. True rest is revealed through kids. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, just like a child. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Look at this. Because children naturally trust, and because they exuberantly and are naturally joyful, so therefore they can truly rest. You ever watch a kid sleep? I watch kids sleep a lot. It's the best time of my day. I just go up there and watch them. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's not my favorite part. Nap time is my favorite part because then I get, no. Kids know how to rest. Kids know how to rest because they trust and they're thankful and joyful. You know, if we took some lessons from some kids and if we started just humbly trusting and having faith, and then we started just letting some of the things we're thankful for and joyful for just come out and we expressed those, we'd all rest better. We'd rest better. We'd have less worries. Mark's got a whole bunch of stuff to worry about every single day. And so do you all. But if I just humbly trusted and I just let joy and thankfulness well up within me, I'd rest better. I'd sleep better. I'd be calm more often. See, so kids are not only a second-class citizen within the kingdom, they're teachers in the kingdom. They learn us stuff. Like English. We can learn from these kids. Verse 16, last verse here. "And he," Jesus, "took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them." My final question was how? How do we bless them? I think we can see from this verse, and it relates to everything we've been talking about so far this morning. Number one way we probably bless these kids is by literally committing to diligent prayer. Jesus clearly laid his hands on them. He blessed them. He prayed for them so we can pray. I came up with five other little things. In a busy culture with busy lives and a lot of things going through these noodles, I came up with five, I think, very practical, attainable ways that we can bless our kids. Number one, we can turn our hearts to them. You know, John the Baptist came and his job was to turn the hearts of fathers. And I think many of these passages are both earthly fathers and spiritual fathers, because in many ways we also spiritually father other kids. So biological, mothers and fathers and spiritual mothers and fathers, I think the number one thing we can do is we can turn our hearts. You know, so what does this look like? This looks like our heart continually allowing itself to be softened by the love and grace of God for a child that doesn't always behave as we'd like them to. You with me? We turn our hearts. You know, that passage from Luke, which is a prophecy that was spoken of. It says, turn the hearts of fathers to their children and then the hearts of children to their fathers, and the hearts of fathers and mothers and the adults turn first. And then in response to that, children's hearts will turn also. But we need to soften in here based on the love of God and the forgiveness of God and the grace of God. We just need to allow our hearts to be softened and turned to kids. Number two, we can teach and train them. We invest the knowledge that we have. We take time to literally teach and train them. This passage again says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so we can teach our kids and train our kids. And we do that. We teach them very practical things, like how to use a spoon better. And we teach them deep and spiritual things like who Jesus is and what he did. And then we teach them relational things like why it's not good to hit your sister with a bat. That's a good thing to teach. So we teach them and we trained them the gamut of what it looks like to be human. If we don't just try to course correct via harsh discipline, we literally take time to teach them and invest in them all of the things of life, the full gamut of life. We teach them and we train them from the very practical to the relational, to the mental, to the emotional, to the volitional, to the spiritual, to the sexual, to the financial. We teach and we train them what it looks like to be fully human and to walk with this beautiful Savior named Jesus, who's also a friend. So we take time to teach them and train them. Number three, we manage well. We manage well. 1 Timothy 3 talks about overseers and deacons and leaders, and it says they are to be those who manage their households well. Some of us who are natural managers and natural organizers can take this a little too far. You know who you are. I don't even have to look at you, and I know who you are, but I don't even have to. I'm kidding. Boundaries, my friends, equals security for kids. Good and healthy boundaries within a home leads to great security for kids within that home. And so we manage our households well. We set up appropriate boundaries that are bathed and based in love, and we don't get them so rigid that we freak out if a boundary is ever crossed, but we set up and we manage our households, and that is our church household. We manage our church household well. We manage the kids' programs well, and y'all do this really, really well. We over at Hope City need to learn from y'all about how to manage things well. But you manage your household well, and you manage your household well. And so you give children these boundaries and these places where they can then just grow and thrive and be creative and become all that God. And boundaries help kids to do that. Not too terribly firm, but firm enough so that they have some security within that. Number four, we speak life. Oh, this is so huge. We speak life to kids. You know, that passage from Matthew 3 is when Jesus was getting ready to go into his public ministry. He had been through his temptation. No, not yet. He'd be going into his temptation. He had just been baptized. And this Jesus' baptism was this reflection of his death and his resurrection that he was going to then walk out a few years later. But after Jesus came up out of the water, you hear this voice. And this voice is that of his dad. And his dad said, this is my son, whom I love, and I'm so pleased with him. I'm so pleased with this boy. I couldn't be prouder of him. You know, sometimes we can forget to praise. You can overpraise. You can praise for things that aren't praiseworthy. Oh, you did such a good job of eating your French fry. I'm so proud of you. But you know, I don't think we often fall into that. We often fall into the realm of underpraising. When our children, spiritual, biological, whatever that is, when our children do something that is really praiseworthy, tell them. Praise them. Speak life into them. Speak over them who you see them becoming. Speak into their lives. Speak life. If God, the perfect Father, did that with his boy, we should do that with our kids. Amen? Amen. Speak life. And number five, make time. I think that's one of the biggest things Jesus did in the story that we read. Every time you make time for a child, you are sacrificing something else. Every time. You are sacrificing something else. And oftentimes, that comes at a time that's not the most convenient. They don't know convenience. They don't have to. They're kids. They're going to come when you're involved in deep spiritual work of planning a message. The real ministry. Make time. There's so many ways we can make time for kids. And I think Jesus would tell us that's a good use of time. It's a really good use of time. You know, if you think about our world, and you can go out there and walk, or you can go onto your phone and scroll, this would be a tough time to be a kid, wouldn't it? In this culture, in this season, this would be a really tough time to grow up as a kid. Imagine the things that the kids today are dealing with that wasn't even on our radar. Think of that. Think of the questions that our kids will ask that I hadn't even considered until 3 years ago. Think of some of the stuff that is tempting and pulling and grabbing at and yanking for our kids today that is unlike any other time in our history. Maybe any other time in the history of the world. Think of the pressures and the pulls and the confusion and all of the things that our kids today are dealing with, like unlike any other generation in the history of humankind. I think it's a tough time to be a kid. I think we need to double down on letting the children come to Jesus by coming to us. I think we need to double down our efforts. When I was getting ready to leave Bayside as y'all's senior pastor, I was packing up my office and Kathy Brookmole was in there with me and we got Sterilite bins and I'm crying and whatever, you know, and I'm like, this is kind of weird, you know, and I packed up all my stuff and I packed up my pictures and I took my pictures and I took a few that weren't even mine and because I liked them and I packed them away and I put them in my garage and, you know, I've been working for Hope City and Youth for Christ out of the Encounter building for a year and a half. I've had an office there and I haven't even unpacked my stuff. And you know, when I was at a long time ago with my friend Dino, when we were doing the golf store together, right when God was transitioning me from the golf store and I was considering leaving that career that I thought would be my forever career to start working with kids, a picture came in and we didn't order it. And I was talking to the Lord, God, what should I do? And this picture came in unannounced. And I opened it up, and here's the picture. I took a picture of the picture this morning. There's my two little picture holders. And that picture showed up. And I opened it up, and I was asking the Lord, God, you know, we were doing pretty well financially, right, Dino, in those seasons and that time. And God was stirring me to something more. And this picture shows up unannounced, unordered. And what that says, you can't read it, but it says, 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, the sort of house I lived in, or the kind of car I drove, but the world may be a different place because I was important in the life of a child. And that picture came in right at a moment when I'm questioning all of this. And so I called the company and I said, I didn't order this, but let me tell you a story. And the gal on the other line said, well, you take it. We're not going to charge you for it. That's a beautiful story. But what I want you to do is I want you to take that with you wherever you go. And I want you to hang that above your desk as a reminder of what God is stirring you for. And so I did that at Youth for Christ in the previous life. I had it right above my desk. And I brought it over here. And it hung above my desk for almost 10 years here. And then I packed it away. And that had been sitting in my garage till I pulled it out praying about today. And I realized I haven't pulled that out. I know it's there, but I hadn't done anything with it. So I had the kids get the picture and hold it up as a reminder. And I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that and I'm going to plant that baby right above my desk. Because that statement is as true today as it has ever been. Amen? Doesn't, not going to really matter how much we had. You know, today they would add, the world won't be a different place depending on how many followers you have on Facebook. Or how racked up the political system is. Or how much this is going this way and this is good. That it's really not going to matter. But the world may be a different place because you and I are important in the life of a child. Amen? All right, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for the gracious reminder of your love. And Jesus, this all flows from your love. Christ, I thank you that you took time. You made time. You loved, you prayed for, you sacrificed for children. I thank you for what our kids can teach us. God, I thank you that as you let the children come to you, but the disciples got in the way, we can see that and not get in the way. Father, I pray that we would each receive children however you would have us to receive children into our lives. Jesus, that we would never hinder that. Christ, that we would reflect you. We can't do that on our own, God. I can't. I've tried. I've failed. I can't. But Jesus, as you fill me, because you are the true vine, and as you fill me with your love and your joy and your peace and your patience and your kindness and your goodness and your faithfulness and your gentleness and your self-control. Jesus, as you fill me with you, then I can love as you love. And I can receive as you receive. I thank you, Christ. I thank you this day. I thank you for this body. I thank you for this family. Jesus, continue to do your work in and through them. Bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We gonna sing, David? All right, let's stand and sing some worship to Jesus.